Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And so, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your cell phones, can you put them on the silent and off position? And as I went before the Lord, today across our nation, some parts of the world, their eyes are going to be fixed on one of the greatest sporting events that comes around once a year. And we all know that today is Super Bowl Sunday. And when I was preparing for this message, I was sitting on my couch, and on Monday, the Lord just started downloading. Normally, I don't start preparing for Sunday till about Thursday, but he was downloading. And I was saying, wow, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, God. And so, for those of you that are familiar with football, maybe some of you are novice, maybe some of you, maybe when the games are on, you go shopping, you don't care. I get that. Listen, I'm just thankful that my wife, we can sit down and watch a game, okay? And she's more than just a novice. She knows the game pretty well. And so, as I was receiving the things of the Lord, one of the things that came to mind was that in a football game, we all know that there's an offense and a defense, right? And one of the things that that basically can turn the outcome of a game is the quarterback. He's the general on the team. And without a great quarterback, they will never get to a great game like what's going to take place today. So there's two really good quarterbacks playing today. But one of the things that they do, and we all call it, we all see it, it's called a pre-snap. And so they break their huddle and they get to the line. And they're looking. They're looking. They're looking. And sometimes they wait all 25 seconds. They're down to 5 seconds before the ball snaps. But the purpose is the quarterback has an option to audible. To audible. And many times a game is won by a very intelligent audible that would win the game. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. And we're going to look at 1 through 7. And I've entitled this morning's message, God called inaudible. God called inaudible. You see, we're going to see in the scriptures this morning how before the fall of man, God already called inaudible. He already knew that the enemy was going to do a full-on blitz. The enemy was going to send everyone. Every one of his arsenals and every one of his demons to destroy mankind. But God called an audible.
Thank you, Lord.
He called an audible. And so, are we there at Galatians? As you can see up here, quarterbacks call those audibles. Well, God called an audible to come and save us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know why? Because when the fall took place, we were all headed to hell. And then Jesus came.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He changed up the game plan. See, the devil thought he had us, but we got away. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And it was but the grace of God.
Yes.
So I got scripture to see how God is in total control of this earth, and he's in control of our life. And guess what? He's the greatest audible caller there is. Can I get amen?
Amen.
No defense, no enemy can outsmart God. Hallelujah. And so we're here. Galatians, let's go. In verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave or slave. Look at this. Though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. I need you to catch that. There's an appointed time. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, meaning we were sinful. We were bound up. We weren't free people. But when the fullness, if that's Jesus, please let them know that I just started the message. Even so, we, when we were children, we were, what, in bondage under the elements of the world. Look at this, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Okay, so we had a dilemma because of the fall of Adam and Eve. But I'm here to let us know God already called an audible before the fall. What? What do you mean? Yes, before they sinned, he called an audible. What? Look at this in verse 5 here. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an heir of God. That's right. And so, I need you to see this right here. In verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. So we're going to look a little bit. We're going to take a glimpse of Paul's life, but we're also going to look from the very beginning, and we're going to go through the Bible. I picked just a few stories because we can't be here all day. But we're going to see how God came in to mankind's life and changed the outcome. Because he called an audible. Can I get amen?
Amen?
He called an audible. Look at this. An audible by God before the fall of man. We're going to look at this. So in the book of Revelation, look at this. In Revelation 13, 8 through 9, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. They're talking about the Antichrist. So when we are removed, when God takes his church home, the world is going to worship the Antichrist. Now look at this. Whose names have not, you notice, have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb. Slain, look at this. Slain before the foundation of the world. I needed to catch that. So before the whole universe was even created, God already slew the Lamb of God for us. You catch this? It says right here, had been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Praise God. Saints, the reality is this. The blood of Jesus was shed for us before the creation of the world. Wow. Listen. Mankind's been around for about 6,000 years, okay? About 6,000 years, but 6,000 years later, we're here right now, and the blood of Jesus was already slain before that. Oh, that's right. What was only revealed to us when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. And then when he rose again. You see, we didn't have a clue until he was crucified on the cross. Once he was crucified on the cross, then his blood, we saw clearly it was shed for you and I. But before the cross came, God already slew him in his mind. He already made provision for you and I. This is why when I look at us here, I see hope. Because before all that took place, he already thought of you and me. He did it for us. He did it for you. This is how much God loves us. This is how much he cares for us. And not even Satan knew about the shed blood until then. You see, because if it was going to be announced, Satan would have tried to counter the cross. But it took old Slewfoot on surprise too. I bet when he rose again, old Slewfoot was saying, wow, if only I would have known, I would have prevented him from coming to the cross. Too late. Too late. This truth, once understood, should have great implications for your faith, for my faith, for victorious living over Satan and over sin and over sickness. Look what we're going to go to 1 Peter, but look what Peter wrote right up here in the Word. Look at this in 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ as the Lamb without blemish and without spot. It had to be his blood. Why? Because he was the sinless Savior. There was no sin in him. See, Jesus became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ through faith. So he had to die in our place because our blood was tainted. But we just read in Revelation, God already slew him before even everything was created. You see, let me just say this. Nothing, this is the confidence that I need you to understand. If you get anything out of this message, nothing takes God by surprise. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. God's all knowing. He knows the beginning and the end of your life. When things happen, yeah, in real time, sometimes they're shocking to us. Sometimes we get terrified. Sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes we get what? Stressed out. But God's not up there to go, oh my gosh. He already sees the outcome. He's looking for us now as believers to walk in faith. To believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Look at this in verse 20 right up here. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Who was foreordained? Jesus. God set him apart already before the world was even spoken into. God already, hallelujah, knew that he was going to send his only begotten son to save us from ourselves. Look at this. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, meaning revealed, in these last times for you. So the past 2,000 years, God has been revealed to mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ. But prior to that, it was a mystery. Even the Jews in the Old Testament didn't understand who Jesus was, even when Jesus came. They rejected him, didn't they? Look at this. Verse 21. Who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. That's where our faith and hope is in God. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so, saints, there's nothing. I need you to understand this. There's nothing Satan, sin, or sickness can bring that the blood has not already made provision for. The blood of Jesus. Our redemption is in the blood. Can I get amen? And the blood is God's answer to everything that Satan throws at us. And he's going to throw the whole kitchen sink at you. He's going to cause you to worry. He's going to cause you to be frightened. He's going to say, it's too late. He's going to say, why are you praying? It's too late. You got to remind the devil it's not too late. That God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. God has raised the dead. And guess what? God can raise the dead things in your life. Can I get an amen? And many of us have dead things in our life. We have relationships that are dead. We have jobs that have died. We have all kinds of things that have died. But I'm telling you, when God touches your life, hallelujah, things start to come alive again. Amen. Hallelujah. They start to come alive again. I'm alive because of Him. You're alive because of Him. Hallelujah. We're no longer in chains. We're no longer in that dead state. We no longer curse and chew and hang out with those who do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. We got a new walk, a new talk now. Bible says we're sanctified, set apart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And so our redemption is in the blood. And the blood is God's answer to everything that Satan will ever throw at you. You can be sure, saints of God, that God has made certain that the blood of Jesus has enough authority and power to meet all mankind's needs. And you know what, saints of God? Not even old Slewfoot, not even Satan understood the redemptive power in the blood until after the resurrection. And now he's scurrying around. He's been scurrying around for 2,000 years. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. But look what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Let's go back up in here in the Word. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, look at this. But we speak wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages, what? For our glory. So everything that happened thousands of years ago, it was for our glory today. Which none of the rulers of this age knew. None of them. All the principalities, all the powers, all the spiritual wickedness had no clue what God has done for us already. So this is why we need to walk in victory. Why is some of us walking in defeat? None of us should ever walk in defeat. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If God already did all this for us, then why are we worried? What's worrying you? What's worrying me? Nothing should. Because we should have confidence in God. For they had, look at this. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right?
They wouldn't have. But they didn't know. Look at this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. God has prepared beautiful and wonderful things for your life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
It's not over till He says it's over.
Right.
Look at that in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Things that are there, and you don't even know they're there in your heart. The deep things. And so, let's look at this right up here. God calls audibles throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible. So we're going to look at a few stories. And then we're going to look at us. But look at this. Here's an audible He calls. The parting of the Red Sea. Okay, so we all know the story, right? For 430 years, the Israelites were in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. They were slaves. They were bound in chains. They were thrown in the mud pits to die. They had rations of one day to eat. Their women were brutally raped and plundered. They made them feel like they weren't even humans. And for 430 years, they cried out for the deliverer. And who was that deliverer?
Moses.
God raised up Moses. So let's look at Exodus right here. Look at this. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? tell the children of Israel to go forward. This is now, this scene takes place when all the 10 plagues came and God set them free. And now they're headed to Mount Sinai to go get the law. But they came to a roadblock, and right before them was the Red Sea. And they had to get across that Red Sea. And now here comes Pharaoh. He had heart, God hardened his heart. And now he's coming back to get them. After he let them go, now he's coming to kill them. And now all of them are frightened. They're going, Moses, we're going to die here in the wilderness. And so what did God do? He called an audible. He went to the line of scrimmage. He saw all the enemies coming. They were coming with a full-on blitz. They were sending everyone. All the chariots, all their whole army was coming to destroy them. But look at this. But lift up your rod. Look at this in verse 16. But lift up your rod and stretch it out, your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. This was a supernatural event. Till this day, it's talked about every year. You ever watch the Ten Commandments? It comes on Channel 10 every year. When we were kids, we watched it. So now when it comes on again, watch it this time. You'll understand the story. You'll understand that there was a foreshadow of the blood that was put on the lintel and on the sides of the door. And that was the blood. It made a cross. That was the cross that was coming for us. Hallelujah. Look at this in verse 17. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I shall gain what? Honor over Pharaoh and over all the army, his chariots and his horsemen. Listen, they weren't coming because they wanted to come. God hardened their hearts. You know why? Because God wanted to be glorified in the midst of them. God wanted to remind them who he was. And God wants to remind you on who he is. When you're faced with situations of life where you feel like the enemy has taken me out or is about to take me out, I'm here to let you know that God is able to see you through. Can I get amen? He's able to, hallelujah, counter the devil. He'll send an audible in your life and let you walk into safety. Can I get amen? But you got to hear his voice. You got to trust in the Lord. You got to trust who he is. We can't be like these guys. These guys were, it was written so that we would have a greater understanding of God's greatness and his mercy. And so look at this. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, chariots, and his horsemen. Look at verse 18. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. You need to let the devil know in your life that Jesus is the Lord. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. You know what that tells me? God's in total control. He's in total control. He's in total control of our life. So why do we fret? Why do we lose faith? It happens. Look at verse 20 up here. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus there was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. Look at this in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. What? This is an ocean. We've been to the Red Sea. We did an Israel tour, and we went down to Egypt. And we were there where possibly down below, way down below in that Red Sea, where the chariots are still there. The remnants of Pharaoh's chariots. Look at verse 22. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were what? Were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen basically got swallowed up by the water. Praise God. We see another story. That was just one story. We see another story. Samson's final triumph. You guys remember Samson?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Quick story on him. Flat out, he was a womanizer.
Amen.
And guess what? He wasn't satisfied with the Israeli woman, the Hebrew woman. He wanted always to go outside and go into the camps of the uncircumcised Philistines. In other words, he wanted Gentile women. For some reason, they took fancy to his eyes. And so, it's a story of when you walk out of the will of God, you're setting yourself up for temptation and for a fall. And it happened to him. And who remembers the one girl that he pursued?
Delilah.
And throughout that whole story, she tried to find out the secret to his power. Because he would take the jawbone of a donkey and destroy what? An army. 2,000-3,000 at a time. Just imagine. You know, it seems far-fetched, but if God wrote it down, that's what happened. Can I get an amen? You're talking about a Marvel character. That was one right there. Oh, come on. That's right. Too bad they didn't record it so we could see it. But they wrote it down so we can believe it. Can I get an amen? That's all I want. I just want to believe it. Can I get an amen? So what happened was, because he fell in sin and fell to this woman who had no desire for him but to find out what his power was coming from, he gave in to her and said, it's the locks on my hair. And so when he was asleep at night, what? She cut him off. And all his strength left. And so, the final scene in his life, God called an audible. God called another audible in his life. Hallelujah. Because they had already cut out his eyes. He couldn't even see no more. And they brought him to mock him in the arena of the Philistines. And there was 1,000 of them there, all just parading. Oh, we caught Israel's champion. And so he cried out to God and said, oh God, give me strength for one last time. And so God stepped up to the line. And caught an audible for him. And it changed the course of Israel. Let's go there. Look at this in Judges 16:28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, oh Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, oh God, that I may what? With one blow, take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Wow. One more time, God. Hallelujah. Listen, we're not going to live forever in this body. And we know, hopefully, that we're waiting for the rapture to come to take us home. But if we were to die in this physical body, my prayer would be like Samson. Oh, God, allow me to do one more thing for you before I go be with you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Allow one more soul that I can teach and preach and win to you, God. Our mind should be, oh man, I have family members, I got friends that don't know Jesus. Oh, that they would repent and turn to God, because, well, I don't want to see them perish. There's no in between. There's only heaven or hell. And God, I don't want none of my family to go there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so, look at this in verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. And he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And look at verse 30 up here. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on all the what? Lords, little L. And all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Wow. Wow. God went before him. Look at that. In verse 31. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Wow. And so stories just kept happening in the Old Testament. And we're going to get there, right, Pastor Art? We're going to get to these stories. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. But look at this story. Look at this. One giant terrified an entire nation. One giant. A Nephilim. There's no one on record in our modern era that was almost 14, 15 feet tall. This was a giant. And all of Israel was terrified. And they felt that they could not match this giant. And that they were going to be over what? Overpowered. And that Israel was done. The Philistines were going to conquer them. And then God stepped up to the line. And he called an audible. He looked to the right, looked to the left. That little kid, I'm going to use him on this play. Can I get an amen? He called another audible. God, listen, God calls audibles in our life. Look at this. In 1 Samuel 17:41, look at this. So the Philistines came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, meaning he dissed him. Like, who is this little kid? For he was only a youth, a ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice, they have a whole bunch of little gods. But he was messing with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's right, Big G. He didn't know what he was up against. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen, don't despise little things, little packages. Because sometimes inside that little package is great power. Hallelujah. And anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Case in point. I came from a small church, about maybe 200 people from North Park Apostolic. It had anointing and power. And then I went to a 3,000 church, and I couldn't even feel the presence in that place.
Amen.
I go, how come I don't feel God here? Don't despise little things. God didn't despise this little ruddy kid. Can I get an amen? Because this little ruddy kid had a heart after him. Who's the one that defeated the bear and the lion in the wilderness? Oh, come on. He had a heart for God. Look at this in verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Next time the devil comes alive to you, you tell the devil you have defiled, hallelujah, the God that I serve. And God will have his vengeance on you. Can I get an amen? It's not the person, it's the spirit in that person. Never think it's the person. It's the spirit operating. That's what you come against. You don't come against flesh and blood. You come against that power, that spirit. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And so look at this. Verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. This is what you got to let the devil know, hallelujah, in your life, that God is high and lifted up, that he is your shield and buckler, that nothing formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you, God will condemn. Can I get an amen? Do you know that it's always the enemy, Satan, and his dominions that always want to remind you of your sin? And be careful when people start talking, because that's a spirit at work. Can I get an amen? Walk away or bind that spirit. Say, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Look at this. Verse 40. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is what? The Lord's. And he will give you into my hands. Man, what confidence this little ruddy kid had. Can I get an amen? But he knew God was with him. All these other characters, the whole army, these men of war that have battled, they had battle scars, and they knew how to position themselves to fight other armies, and yet they saw that one giant, and they were shaking at the knees. My. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. So look at this. In verse 48. So it was when the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out the stone, and he slung it, struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face to the earth. God wanted to make sure that he was going to take the enemy out. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Took him out. Hit him right there where he couldn't even see and think no more. Look at that. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran, stood over the Philistine, took the sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they what? What? Hallelujah. And you and I, we need to have the devil fleeing from us. Can I get an amen? We need to see him backpedal and run. And so we go a little further. The very first church was on the verge of being destroyed. Now we're in the New Testament. Jesus died, rose again. The Holy Ghost is poured out on the day of Pentecost. And now the church is growing. There's power on the earth now. Holy Ghost power. And guess what? Here's the enemy coming again to try to stamp it out. Did you know that when you first get saved, Satan tries to stamp out what you just received? He wants you to be convinced that this is not real. I'm here to let him know. I'm putting him on blast right now. I'm putting notice on him this morning that he is a liar and the father of them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, the enemy was being led by a one-man crusade. Who was that one man? No, who was that one man? His own crusade to kill all the Christians. Saul of Tarsus. Huh. It's right up here. Acts 9. Look at this. Acts 9. Then said, look at this. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked what? Letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that he what? So that he found any who were of the way. That's the name of the church during this time. The way. Whether men or women, he might bring them to what? Jerusalem. To be charged, to be crucified, to be killed, to be murdered, to be thrown with the lions, to be crucified and hung upside down. Look at this. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Right there, we see God doing another audible. Because he was out to destroy the church. And God said, not so. You're barking up the wrong tree here. Look at this. Praise God, praise God. Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Oh, wow, what a paradigm change. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Look at this in verse 6. And so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. They heard him too. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Look at this in verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight. Wow. Just imagine being blind for 3 days. You couldn't see nothing. Neither he ate or drank. Now there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. Listen, this is what we need to pray for. That the people in our life that don't know Jesus will start praying for God. Can I get an amen?
Yes, amen?
Call them out by name. You know their names. Call them out and say, God, I pray for so-and-so. I pray for so-and-so. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that they will fall on their knees and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. Why do we pray that? Because we don't want to see no one perish. We don't want to see no one slip into what? Into hell. Because hell's a real place. But the good news is Jesus came to save us from that place. And so God called a huge audible here, because God needed Saul. With all the knowledge and all the wisdom that he had, God wanted to flip his heart for him and use it for his glory. And that's what took place. And so look at verse 12 up here. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. He was like leery. I'm going to lay hands on him. How do I know he doesn't have a dagger in the other hand and come at my neck? Look at verse 14. And here, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a chosen vessel of God. And let me just go on a little further with that. God did not make a mistake. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You may look in the mirror and say, man, are you sure? Are you sure, God? Yes. When God makes up his mind, nothing can thwart the plan of God. Can I get amen? Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so look at this. Saul of Tarsus became the greatest apostle who ever lived. And let me just say this. The same plan that God has for him is no different than the plan he has for us.
Hallelujah.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
God has a mighty plan for you. You better believe that God has a mighty plan. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Oh, that's right. Because Paul wrote to the Corinthian church right here. Look at this. Are they Hebrews? So am I. They Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. He's now testifying that when God flipped his heart, that he would suffer many things. And guess what? He wasn't going, oh, woe is me. I should have stayed a rabbi in Jerusalem. No. He wanted more of God. He wanted more of God. And listen, when we find persecution, when we find ourselves in trials and tribulations, God is saying, don't cry, uncle. You remember when you wrestled your brother and you put him in a headlock and you were holding his head until he cried out, uncle? We don't cry out, uncle. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We go through it until we win. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Life is not going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough. But let me just say this. With God, all things are possible.
All things.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
Look at this in verse 24. Look at this. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Man, listen to this testimony. Once I was stoned. And he didn't go to a hookah bar and get stoned. Or went to this place down the street called, what's it called? Yolanda knows what it is. No, because she pointed it out to me. They smoke weed in that place, and they go in there and buy weed in there. Really? Wow. And I still have some friends that are still locked up just because they had a bag of weed. Man, and now you can go in a store and show them a fake card. This is from Dr. So-and-so. Man. But he was stoned by rocks and boulders. Look at this. They wanted to kill him. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen turned on him. In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Watch out who you hang out with. Watch out who's trying to teach you something. Watch out. Some of them got some wacky bobo doctrine. And I said something, I think, Wednesday night, and the saints in here were rolling. And some of those false doctrines, they have what's called braggadocious. They brag about it. Jesus, help us. Oh, that's right. Look at this. Look at verse 27 here. And in weariness and toil and sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, and fastings, often in cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily. And we stay home because we got a cold. We stay home because my toe hurts. We find excuses not to come together. And look at what he went through daily. Shame on us when we have to make excuses that we can't be in his presence. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not what?
Lying.
And listen, what he found out as he was now turned from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, the greatest apostle to ever live, wherever he went, this should be our banner. This should be our anthem. This is what we should do when we testify. When we go to place to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, and especially when we're around our loved ones that are not saved. Paul wrote it best, for I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of what? God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're coming in now for a soft landing. But just buckle your seatbelts. Because we're going to look at this now. The audible of God for our lives. He called an audible for you.
Sure did.
He called an audible for me. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. When I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock, toe up from the flow up, God saw the enemy coming. He saw that they were doing a full-on blitz on my life, and he called an audible. Hallelujah. He go, I'm going to save this one for me. He's going to save you for him. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen from the north wing over here? Can I get an amen from the west wing over here? Oh, come on. Thank you, God. So he caught an audible for us. Thank you, Jesus. See, the devil thought he had us. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But nuh-uh.
Uh-uh.
Uh-uh.
Jesus.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Look at this. Found in John. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He called an audible. He said, I'm sending my son now. Hallelujah. They thought it was down and out. They thought it was all over. But God said, I'm sending my son to die for them. Look at this. That whoever believed in them should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
Look at this. He who believes in him. This is key right here. Because we forget this verse. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. And so, saints, we got one more last scripture we're going to expound. And it's found in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. This is, to me, when I read this for the first time 35 years ago now, it still resonates in my heart today. Because the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So in Ephesians 2, 1 through 9, it says, and you, look at this, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Come on, just look at this for a moment. Before you gave your heart to God, we were dead in trespasses and sins.
Yes.
Look at this, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Look at the life that we once had. Look at the life that you and I, that God saved us from. How many of you God saved from a drug life?
Amen.
How about a gambling life? How about a sexual immoral life?
Everything.
We'll be here for a month. So we'll look at this. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. In other words, Satan at that time was our father. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. Did you know that our now father adopted us? I hope you know you've been adopted, right? We've been adopted by God. We're the sons and daughters adopted by God. And he sent the second birth. Hallelujah. See, the first birth, we were birthed out of our mother's womb. The second birth came from heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. Among whom also we all once, what? Conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, meaning the wrath of God was upon us. Just as others, but God. Say that with me. But God. Say that again. But God. One more time. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Can I get an amen? He loved us. Even we were dead. Look at this. In trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in heavenly places. You guys are sitting in heavenly places right now. Oh, come on. Come on, before back in the day, we would just gather our kegs in the morning for this game today. Oh, come on, you remember them keg days? You remember? I remember. Oh, come on. We had no mind. We had no mind. Look at this. But now we're seated in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, he might show what? The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward you and me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God was kind to you. God was kind to you. My goodness. That's right. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest anyone should want. Be braggadocious. Oh, come on, there's nothing to boast about. Can I get an amen? Amen. There's nothing to boast about. So on the day of Pentecost, when Jesus said, I want you to all go to the upper room and wait for the promise. So on the feast of Pentecost, it was the fourth feast. Passover had passed. Unleavened bread had passed. First fruits have passed. And now 50 days later, Pentecost came. The Holy Ghost was poured out in the upper room. And God called another audible. He called this last audible I'm going to show us here. So when you watch the game today, just watch the quarterback. He's going to audible all game long. Just remember the message. God called an audible for your life, for our life. He saved us from destruction. The enemy was coming with a full-on blitz. He was sending all characters at you to take you out so that you wouldn't cross the promised land, which is the goal line in football. So remember this. Our goal is to get to heaven. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So here's this last audible right here. Then Peter said to them, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call.
Amen.
Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Oh, hallelujah. Listen. You may be watching online right now, Facebook, YouTube, or maybe someone here. And God is sending you an audible right now to turn to Him. Surrender your life. Because He has a game plan all prepared for you. And guess what He wants to do in your life? He wants you to win it.
Yes.
He wants you to win the game of life here on earth.
Yes.
He wants you to win. And if you've never been baptized, like we just read right up here, still up there on the screen, this is a great opportunity to say, you know what? I got saved on Super Bowl Sunday.
Right?
I thought I was coming to a game.
Jesus did a blitz.
And the enemy was throwing a full-blown blitz on me, and God caught an audible. If you've never given your heart, you've never been baptized as an adult, I encourage you.
Yes.
Oh, the jacuzzi's nice and toasty out there.
Come on.
The last two precious souls we baptized was about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh.
It was on the
coldest night
on record that this year.
Yes.
And they're sitting right back here with joy. Hallelujah. With joy. You know when it's real. Because they're hungry now for God. They've been born from above. Hallelujah. They got a new life to live now. I'll tell you the blessing about you two. Because when a husband and wife do it together. And you have the same mindset. And the same heart. Oh my gosh. There's none of this. One is not going, come on up here. A little higher in God. Oh no, I want to stay down here. I still want to suck on my suds. See, now those two can just grow. Together.
Amen.
Right? Right, sister? Right, brother? When I see you guys' face, I see the joy of the Lord. When I see your faces, I see the joy of the Lord. When I see your faces, I see the joy of the Lord. You guys are here because of the joy of the Lord is here. And the presence of God is here. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Ooh, hallelujah. Hey, listen, before we close out, who needs prayer right now? Anyone need prayer? Anyone? Anyone needs prayer? And let me just ask this last question. Who has not, as an adult, been baptized yet in water? Raise up your hand if you've never done that. Everyone here? Everyone here has been baptized as an adult? Wow. Okay.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Amen. We'll give God a shout of praise and glory.
Prayer.
Oh, yes. Listen. I want us to lay hands on our brother right here. He's going to be gone for 6 weeks. He's having surgery to his hand. Okay? This hand right here. And I'm praying that I believe he'll be with us the last Sunday of this month because he's scheduled for the 27th?
Yes.
He's scheduled February 27th. It's a simple procedure, but there's going to be a whole lot of therapy going on. But I'm believing God will heal him that he won't have to go do that surgery. Can I get an amen? Because God's our healer. But nevertheless, not our will, but thy will be done. If God has chosen that for you, then so be it. We're here. We love you. We're going to support you in every way. And you're always going to be with us here. No matter what direction we go for temporary purposes, you're always going to be here with us in spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray for Pastor Andre right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up our brother to you right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Lord, we ask, Lord, an impartation of healing.
Yes, God.
Healing to the hand,
yes,
to the wrist. God. In the name of Jesus. God, you have blessed him. He is skillful in what he does.
Yes,
Lord, I haven't heard many like him. In the name of Jesus. We are so blessed. Hallelujah. When he comes in our presence with the gift that you have given him. Lord, we rejoice on what you've done in his life. And what you're going to continue to do. I pray, God. Lord, that when the procedure takes place, there would be perfect healing.
Yes, God.
Fast
yes,
healing, God.
Yes, God.
Speedy healing, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, he'll be able to use his hand stronger than ever.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him be like the bionic man. Stronger and then better. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, bless him, God. Bless him mightily, oh God. We love this man. Everyone here loves this man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love everything about Pastor Andre. He's such a blessing here at Amazing Grace. And Lord, but he's a special child of God. Lord, he's adopted by you in the name of Jesus. So pour out grace and mercy upon him. Your loving kindness upon him. Your healing virtue upon him. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God a shout.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Emily, come on. Let's pray for
family.
Come on, we got one more prayer for Emily.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's honor her with oil. We pray for my uncle. Normally, he's always here with her. And so, and your grandson, yes. Hallelujah.
And the kids.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for my cousin Emily. Lord, she's steadfast. She loves you. She loves being in your word. She loves to be around the saints of God. She loves to be in your presence. She loves when the word of God ministers to her heart. But Lord, there's a need right now. And we lift up Uncle Jerry right now. We lift up the grandchildren. We lift up her whole entire family. Lord, as she stands in the gap for them, Lord, we intercede on her behalf. And we lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, pour out your Spirit upon them, God. Lord, let that household recover quickly, God. Lord, that they would come back and be part of the fellowship and praise you and glorify you and magnify you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for our cousin Emily. Thank you for this woman of God who loves you, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask these blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Saints of God, before we dismiss, I'm gonna ask you guys to pray with me. All of you, pray with me. We pray for those who are watching. Maybe they never given their heart to God. And so, if you're watching us for the first time, second time, you never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to give you an invitation to receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. So let's all bow our hearts and our hands and let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, give them a shout. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.